Good morning, everybody. I'd like to call the April 11th, 2025 meeting of the Spinal Cord Injury Research Board to order. As a reminder for our members and guests, the SCIRB meetings are recorded and the recording will be available on the Department of Health website in about 3 business days. As always, ask that we try to be as efficient as possible. So to do that, please be sure to announce your name before speaking and turn on the mic by pushing the button. Try to keep the background noise to a minimum. Mute your mic unless you're speaking, and always state your name before making or seconding a motion. Thank you. We will introduce a new board member in just a moment, Dr. Shelley Sia. Dr. Sia was appointed by the Speaker of the Assembly to fill Dr. Gary Page's vacancy. At this point, we'll do board introductions. I'll go first. I'm Adam Stein. I'm the Chair of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation at Northwell Health and Zucker School of Medicine at Hofstra Northwell. And at this point, let me introduce formally Dr. Shelley Sia and ask Dr. Sia to tell us a little bit about herself.
Hello. Thank you. Hi, it's a pleasure and honor to be serving on the board with you all. I'm a spinal cord injury physician at Berkeley Rehabilitation Hospital in White Queens, New York. And I completed my residency and fellowship training at Kessler in New Jersey.
Thank you, Dr. Sia. We're very happy to have you here. We'll do other introductions so Dr. Sia gets to meet everyone. I can't see Keith, but let me ask Keith first to introduce himself. Keith, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, and now we can see you. Go ahead.
Great. Hello, my name is Keith Gergi. I'm a resident of the town of Ulster, long-time board member. I've been doing this for a while. That's me.
Thank you, Keith. Let's go over to Albany now. And I think we have at least a couple people there. Go ahead, Dr. Santiago. Are you there?
I am. I'll start. Dr. Rachel Santiago here. I'm a physician over at Sunnyview Rehab Hospital in Schenectady, New York, where I do clinical practice for spinal cord injury. I'm board certified in physical medicine and rehabilitation, as well as spinal cord injury medicine.
And I'm
Go ahead, April.
I'm April Coghlan.
I wasn't sure you were there. Good morning.
Oh, yep. You can't see us, huh?
Now we can see
you. Oh, okay. I'm April Coghlan. I'm an associate professor in the School of Education at SUNY New Paltz, and I'm almost 40 years spinal cord injured.
Thank you, April. Now let's go to New York. So if I could start over here.
Hi, everyone. Fraser Sim. I'm a professor at SUNY Buffalo in the Departments of Pharmacology and Toxicology and the director of the neuroscience program there. My lab studies primarily neurodegeneration in the context of multiple sclerosis, but also other diseases affecting the central nervous system, and some of the basic translational neuroscientist who has previous interest in spinal cord injury and has continued that as a member of the board.
Thank you. Lauren?
Hello, Lauren Farrielli. I am an occupational therapist with Northwell Health and STARS outpatient facilities. I have been working with spinal cord injury patients the better part of my career.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jessica Daigle. I also work for Northwell STARS. I'm a senior clinical manager there, and I have been working in the spinal cord world for 20 plus years now.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I am Ravin Rock. I'm a neurosurgeon practicing mainly in Long Island in a large group practice. I am the director of brain and spine traumas at Mount Sinai South NASA in Long Island, and I work mainly on clinical neurosurgery, patients involved with spinal cord injuries. And I have done research on spinal cord injury in the past during my fellowship. So that's me.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Avinash Mohan. I'm a pediatric neurosurgeon at Westchester Medical Center and New York Medical College, neighbors with White Plains. We see, as a large level one pediatric and adult trauma center, we see a lot of spinal cord injury.
Great. And Yes, and we're expecting another member of the board to be joining us soon. He's running a little late, but you can see that we actually have a quite diverse board in terms of background, clinicians, consumers, physicians, therapists. So, and I think that's desirable. So thank you, everyone, for taking the time to meet today. Board members received today's exhibits to be discussed. Our agenda today includes consideration of meeting minutes from our last in-person meeting on November 15th. Also a review of a future requests for applications, a program and membership update, and a review of subcommittee reports, including a discussion on future RFAs and a discussion on RFA penalties. And most importantly, we'll consider applications for funding the pre-doctoral and postdoctoral fellowships in spinal cord injury research, round six. You know what? I neglected to ask the members of the Department of Health to introduce themselves, so let me do that right now, starting in New York.
Hi, Sarah O'Brien, Director of Extramural Grants Administration for the Department of Health.
I'm Dave Coogans, HPA, and I work on creating the RFAs and dealing with the boards.
Albany folks, if you don't mind.
Jim McGinnis, I do accounting and budgeting.
Thanks, Jim.
Hi, Alana Busher, Associate Director for Administration at the Wadsworth Center, Department of Health, and I'm the Executive Secretary for the board.
And I'm Chris Dentrone. I'm an HPA as well, and I do the contract management.
Thanks, everybody. Sorry to have neglected you briefly. So with the appointment, in terms of board membership updates, with the appointment of Dr. Sia, the board now has two vacant seats remaining out of a total of 13, one to be filled by Governor Kathy Hochul, one by Speaker of the Assembly, Carl Hastie. There is a candidate to fill Governor Hochul's vacancy who has been moved forward last March. This the vetting process, as you all know, can be a lengthy one, but we anticipate that that is coming to a close. Additionally, we hear that there may even be a candidate put forth by Assemblyman Hastie, and so I hope that before too long we will actually have a full board. Obviously, filling these vacancies is important, gives us flexibility, account for absences, and enable us to continue our mission of funding to find a cure for spinal cord injuries and award applications of merit. So since that hasn't occurred yet, if the new appointees haven't been appointed yet, if anyone has any suggestions on other folks who they feel would be a good fit for the board, please bring them to our attention and we will get them to Assemblyman Hastie. All right, so first we will start by considering the minutes from our meeting of November 15th, 2024. In your books, Exhibit 1, page 5, since Dr. Sia.
Good morning.
Dr. Mendel just arrived, so since Dr. C is a new member of the board and was not obviously present for our November meeting, she cannot vote. So I would, can I get a motion to approve the minutes of the November meeting as presented?
Approved with amendments.
Can I get a second? And that's good to say your name.
Lauren.
And a second, please.
Rami Rock, second.
Thank you. The amendment, the discussion?
The spelling of two members' last names.
Whose?
Varialli, it's V-A-R-R-I-A-L-E, and Dr. Mendel.
All right, so duly noted.
Excuse me, one more, just the credentials for Jessica Daigle need to be added.
And the credentials?
OTRMA.
Right. Thank you. Duly noted. Any other discussion on the minutes? Or any other spelling or credential snafus? Okay, great. All right. So now we have to vote on the minutes. So let me start with Keith. Keith, you vote to approve
Keith,
the minutes.
Yes.
Go to Albany. Rachel?
Rachel, yes.
April, yes.
Fraser? No, she can't.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
Great. Lauren?
Lauren, yes.
Adam, yes.
Jessica, yes.
Rami, yes.
Avi, yes.
All right, so the minutes are approved. So now are at the point where we go to public comment. And while we have not received any requests to speak by the public, I did receive two letters that I would ask that you allow me to read and be considered for the public comment. So first letter is from Dr. Jack Martin. And it reads as follows. I am a fellow SCI researcher at CUNY School of Medicine. I was at Columbia PNS prior to that. My lab uses animal models for SCI research with a dual focus on mechanisms to promote axon outgrowth, regeneration, and neuromodulation. The reason I'm reaching out to you is about the very slow turnaround for informing applicants of the status of the last round of PART and IDEA grants. At least ONA, he's referring to Dr. Ona Bloom, as a month or so ago, and myself. I do not know specifics for other applicants. The concern is twofold. First, is being in limbo and not being able to plan a research team ahead of a grant start date. Using myself as an example, I received the audio link of the November 2024 meeting where I heard a favorable unanimous vote for my proposal. Yet there's been no information since then. The office staff indicates that they are in a communication embargo period. Second, and more important, is that applicants that are in limbo are effectively not able to submit to other agencies to move their SCI projects further. Again, using myself as an example, we have missed the February our grant deadline and may miss June as well, given the time it takes to develop a proposal as PIs. We are always concerned about turnaround time for submissions and resubmissions, which is key to maintaining laboratory staff. Thank you for your willingness to communicate my concerns to the staff. If you think it would be helpful, I can register for and attend next week's meeting of the NYC at the NYC venue. So you did not do that.
Can I read that?
You sure can.
Can I read?
All right. I think the second letter is sort of similar thematically, so I'll just read that, and then if anybody wants to comment, we can. This letter is from Ona Bloom, my colleague at Northwell Health. Dear Dr. Stein, we deeply appreciate your voluntary service to New York SCRB, as well as your service of your fellow New York SCRB board members. We are also grateful for the past and present support of SCRB for research on behalf of New Yorkers with spinal cord injury. With this letter, my colleagues, Dr. Wecht, Dr. Harkema, and I are hoping to foster better communication between the New York State SCI research community and SCRB. On December 2nd, 2024, we received the request for applications for translational research projects in spinal cord injury round six from SCRB. The applications were due by 4 p.m. on January 22nd, 2025. We submitted a letter of intent and together with our colleagues in New York State attended a Q&A session with the SCRB staff. Given the dramatically short time window for the RFA announcement to the deadline, particularly for a grant of this magnitude, up to $1 million per year for 5 years, our collaborative research team put all their other work aside and prioritized completion of this application. This included scientists, lab staff, and administrators diligently working through weekends, serious family illnesses, religious holidays, and federal holidays. Our administrators worked with the SCRB staff to communicate issues with incorrect budget templates that were released, as well as other submission-related issues. Despite significant challenges, the application was submitted successfully by the deadline of January 22, 2025. On January 28, 2025, the administrator who submitted the grant received an email notification that the Department of Health had withdrawn the recently completed RFA. This cycle of intensely short deadlines only to be canceled after the submission date was incredibly disruptive to our scientific and administrative staff. Please let us know if there's anything we can do to mitigate these kinds of events in the future. We are again all grateful for the SCRB support. Best wishes, Drs. Bloom, Wecht, and Harkema. So would any, if there are any comments, I'm happy.
This is Rachel speaking. I'm curious when we received that, both of those letters to the board, do we have a date when they were submitted? Just for timeline? Yeah.
They were actually quite recent, Rachel. I will give you that though. So Dr. Martin's letter, April 4th, and Dr. Bloom's letter, April 8th.
So, Adam, I didn't really, my hearing is really not very good. So this to me, having been on this board for probably 10 years, I've never heard such a letter of this kind. And what I'd like to know is this in any way related to all the problems that seem to be going on in Washington? Or is this something that is really quite restricted to what's going on with our program in Albany? I couldn't really pick that out from what you said or what I read.
No, I don't think that you would get that from that.
I was going to say, is this something new or this is something that has been going on? Is it common that people send letters, you know, after the line?
Is it common that people send letters?
No, I mean, right. Requests like this, or is it the first time that?
If I can speak on behalf of the department exercised its right to withdraw the RFA, and that's the only comment that the department can make.
Yes, and so I was approached by Dr. Bloom, and I query the department about that, and had the response that you just heard, and that's sort of where it is.
So, again, I didn't. So this happened on the 4th, which is exactly a week ago today.
The letter was received on the 4th. The events happened in January.
Okay. So are we in a position? Is the administration in a position to answer him with anything? Or do we just simply, I don't want to speak for him specifically, except to point out that he's a pretty, pretty reasonable guy and a very, very fine scientist. And it sort of bothers me a little bit that, you know, somebody like that, like anybody really, would have these kind of problems, unless there's a reason for it. If there's a good reason for it, then he has to know what that reason is. And we have to know as the board what
the
that
department
reason is.
Exercised its right to withdraw the RFA.
I'm sorry?
The department exercised its right to withdraw the RFA.
The Department of Health exercised its right to withdraw the RFA is what Farah is saying.
Oh, so is that what happened here?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't pick that up.
Okay. So I have a question.
Go ahead, Keith.
It's not clear to me the problem, because they said they got an approval and how we can fix anything moving forward.
Sarah?
He's looking at the first letter.
Oh. I see. Keith, can you make your question a little bit more specific?
Yeah.
If Dave is correct.
I think it was the first letter was Martin, and he was saying he got a unanimous approval, and then something about time frames. So it's not clear to me what the problem is. And then was there anything the board, or was this, which I'm confused which grant we're talking about. This was the last one that we didn't approve.
So this is Rachel. I want to chime in. My interpretation is that there's two separate issues here. The first was our time response in November to notify of approval.
Yeah.
Or actually, there was approval on the meeting and then lack of follow-up. which interfered with their ability to then proceed with other grants. The second issue, which is separate, is the retraction of the RFA, which is also news to me at this moment. Mm-hmm. So I think going, if we could identify both separately as a board and piece through them, that would be the most. Am I correct or incorrect in that?
No, you're correct.
Okay.
This is David, and I can at least start to address that. The approval process is what it is. The board recommends to the Commissioner of Health those applications to be approved for contract. So until that comes through, we are in a embargo period and can't discuss anything going forward from there. I think that would address the first one. As again, for the second one, the Department of Health, as Farah had stated, exercised its right to withdraw the RFA. And therefore, there's nothing else that we can discuss about that at the moment, and probably not ever. However, the replacement RFA has been released, and we hope that there will be no need to withdraw that.
Yeah, and I'll just add to that part, Rachel. I was queried by Dr. Bloom about that, and I took that to the staff and got the same response. So nothing is being said differently here than what was said to me at that time.
So again, to the best of my knowledge, I've never heard of an RFA being withdrawn. I don't question they have the right. Has somebody said in this conversation why it was withdrawn? Or do we know?
There is the Department of Health has the right to withdraw.
No, I understand that.
And that is the information that we have available.
So, Lauren, nobody said.
Eh?
Nobody said, nor are they required to. So
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. I mean, what bothers me, and probably all of us, is that Dr. Martin and Dr. Bloom, I don't know if these are two separate applications, but if so, both of them have gone through a huge thing to get their applications this far. They have a lot riding on this in terms of their labs. And then after some delay, to simply have this thing withdrawn for reasons that are not clear to us, or they've not made it clear to us. Now, again, they may not have to, which puts us in a very difficult position. Adam here is probably going to get complaints, and maybe the rest of you, some of the rest of us are going to get complaints. These are well taken, these complaints. Anyway, sorry.
I understand personally exactly what you're talking about, but I guess there's, my understanding is that they can resubmit. Is that what's going to happen?
We have released the replacement RFA. We did it as quickly as we were.
I'm sure you did. Look, I'm not complaining. I'm not suggesting anything that happened here, was poorly done or anything. I think
unfortunately, there's nothing else that we're able to give.
This comes from on high, and we all have to understand that there's that happens sometimes.
So maybe for the minutes, I think it'd be fair to say that we would, as a board, request an enhanced level of transparency in the future if these items are. If these things occur again, we may not get that, but I have no problem making that request.
From Albany here, I know this will be recorded in the minutes, but I think it's important to really mark that this occurred, because if it, I'll say even as an isolated event, as someone who's a clinician and a researcher, I know the difficulties of applying to grants and choosing which grant, and it really can impact the funding that you receive and the livelihood of a lab. And I think it looks really poorly on the reliability of the board and on this funding when these events occur. I understand that, there are things out of our control, but to make sure it's not a recurring event, because we will lose applications if that occurs in the future.
Thank you, Rachel.
I guess my only editorial here is that's basically what happened with my stem, which is a New York State stem cell. The community lost faith in the board. And because of that, I certainly stopped applying to those grants. And I know other people who didn't as well. They just said, this is not worth the effort. We'll just go to NIH. And that's counterproductive for everyone.
Thank you, Fraser. Any other comments? And yes, those will be, all of that will be included in the minutes.
Do we need to, do we need to second what you proposed? No,
I don't think this calls for a vote. We'll just have it in the minutes and I appreciate the discussion. All right, anyone have any objection from me moving on? All right, I now need a motion then to move into executive session for the purpose of discussing the peer review results and the future RFAs. So if someone could make a motion.
I'm going to executive session.
Okay, second, that's Fraser.
Second.
Second by Dr. Rock. Okay, so we are now in executive session.
Dave needs to vote.
Folks no, right.
into,
Sorry?
Yeah,
the phone,
and then Dave has to move folks out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So we have to vote on going into executive session. Keith?
Keith, yes.
Rachel?
Rachel, yes.
April, yes.
Shelley, your first vote.
Shelley, yes.
Fraser, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Adam, yes.
Jessica, yes.
Robin, yes.
Patty, yes.
Thank you. We are now returning to public session. Welcome back, everyone. We have convened and closed our executive session. So our first order of business is to vote on the recommendations for awards from the pre-doctoral and postdoctoral fellowships in spinal cord injury research, round six RFA. And so David and I will take you through that. We'll begin with our recommendation for the pre and postdoctoral fellowships in spinal cord injury research. As I said, round six, the first application is from Dr. Edmund Hollis at the Burke Medical Research Institute. The fellow is it's Caroline Machado. And so we will vote now. If I may I start with you, Keith?
Keith, yes.
Over to Albany. Go ahead.
Rachel, yes.
April, yes.
Shelley?
I would recuse myself.
Oh, Shelley is recused for this, sorry.
Fraser, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Adam, yes.
Jessica, yes.
Robin, yes.
Robin, yes. Bobby, yes.
Okay, thank you, everybody. The second application is from Dr. Hongyan Zhu at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. The fellow is Saugata Day. It's a postdoctoral award. And Keith, your vote?
Keith, yes.
Rachel?
Rachel, yes.
April, yes.
Shelley?
Shelley, yes.
Fraser?
Fraser, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Adam, yes.
Jessica, yes.
Ramin, yes.
Avi, yes.
Okay, thank you. The third application from Dr. Vincent Duenas at Syracuse University. The fellow is Evan Tulski. Is a pre-doctoral application. Keith, your vote?
Keith, yes.
Rachel?
Rachel, yes.
April, yes.
Shelley, yes.
Fraser, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Adam, yes.
Jessica, yes.
Ram, yes.
Javi, yes.
Okay. And the final application from Dr. Vibhu Sani at the Burke Medical Research Institute. The fellow is Catherine Reese. Dr. C is recused. This is a postdoctoral application. Keith?
Keith, no.
Rachel?
Rachel, no.
April, no.
Friesen, no.
Lauren, no.
Lauren, no.
Adam, no.
Jessica, no.
Rami, no.
Avi, no.
Okay, so you're concluding that. So in summary, the SCRB has recommended three pre- and postdoctoral fellowships and spinal cord injury research awards. I didn't do the total number, the total amount.
$498,635.
Thank you, Farah. So, okay. Thank you, everybody. The next order of business is to vote on an amendment to scoring for future applications. As we discussed in executive session, the suggestion has been made to adjust the way in which penalties are assessed for non-pass-fail issues with applications. We have a proposal to allow for multiple penalties in an application at 0.1 point each, with a maximum of 1.0 points per application. So may we have a vote to make this change going forward? Keith, may
Keith,
I have a
vote? Yes.
Rachel?
Rachel, yes.
April, yes.
Shelley, yes.
Fraser, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Adam, yes.
Jessica, yes.
Ramin, yes.
Javi, yes.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Then we will have a program update from Jim. Jim, will you please update us on the status of other program activities and exhibit four found on page 41 of the binder for you folks. Go ahead, Jim.
Four covers spinal cord injury research programming. Progress for each contract will be featured in the 2024 SCRB annual report. Please note on exhibit four, the projected values displayed in red are the suggested procurements for future release. Actual values, which are funding commitments approved by the board, are displayed in black. I'm going to review active funding commitments. First, our peer review contract with the American Institute for Biological Sciences, or AIBS, continues and ends in December 2024. EGA staff are working on a 15-month extension. After this time, bids will be accepted for a new peer review contract. Second, one part and seven of the eight IDA round four contracts began in November 2021. These multi-year contracts ended in October 2023 for IDEA and October 2024 for PART. One of the eight IDEA contracts is seeking a no-cost time extension. Third, four PART and five of the nine IDEA round five contracts began in October 2022. These multi-year contracts ended in September 2024 for IDEA or will end in September 2025 for PART. Four PART and four IDEA round six contracts began in October 2023. These multi-year contracts will end in September 2025 for IDEA or September 2026 for PART. Fifth, two awards from Translational Research Projects Round 4 began in October 2022 and will end in September 2027. Six, eight awards from the Pre-Doctoral and Postdoctoral Fellowships Round 5 began in September 2023 and will end in August 2025. Seven, 13 awards from Institutional Support Round 7 began in July 2023 and will end in June 2025.
Thank you, Jim. Any questions on any of what Jim just reported? All right, so finally we'll hear from David again regarding meeting planning for the future. Go ahead, David.
All right. CERT's next meeting is planned for Friday, October 10th, 2025. This rescheduled dates works really well. Thank you very much. If there are any other meetings needed Obviously, we will poll you for any availability. That's it.
Okay. So any other issues that anyone would like to raise before we adjourn?
Can I ask
hearing none? Oh.
Public? Sorry, I missed the beginning of the meeting. So I understand that it's still an embargo period for the Parton ideas that went out last year. Will they be covered then at the October meeting? Is that the plan? I apologize if this was covered at the beginning of the meeting.
Public comment area ended. Public comment area ended earlier in the meeting. We won't be able to discuss that at this point.
Sorry, Dr. Hollis.
Can I have a? Could I make a motion to accept public comment? That seems a little.
If anyone's wishing to speak during the public comment session, needed to register by the April 8th deadline, so we cannot accept any public comments outside of that registration.
Thank you.
That's sorry, fine. Dr. Hollis. Yeah,
apologies, Dr. Hollis.
It's quite all right. I understand. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So need a motion to adjourn the meeting.
It'll be moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. And we have to vote. So Keith, your vote?
Keith, yes.
Rachel?
Rachel, yes.
April, yes.
Shelley, yes.
Crazy, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Lauren, yes.
Adam, yes.
Jessica, yes.
Rom, yes.
Avi, yes.
Thank you, everybody. Conclude the meeting. Appreciate you folks from the public for attending, and thanks so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for what you do.